presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower, back to CX-4. Wind southeast, ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves, coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Say, gang, there's a lot about helicopters in the aviation news these days. Number one, the Kellett XR-10, the Army's biggest helicopter, is now taking its test flights in North Wales, Pennsylvania. This is a two-engine job, although the engines are inside the fuselage and you never get to see them. Together, the engines whip up 1,050 horsepower, and they drive two separate rotor blades, which operate in different directions. Most of the helicopters you see around have a tail propeller as well as a rotor, for without that tail propeller, the helicopter would just keep turning around and around. Kellett's XR-10, on the other hand, has no tail rotor, but it does have the two main rotors revolving in opposite directions. This enables the new helicopter to fly as straight as a string. The XR-10 has a maximum speed of well over 100 miles an hour, which is pretty fast for a helicopter, you know. It'll carry 10 passengers plus the pilot and the co-pilot, or you can load it with 2,000 pounds of cargo without the passengers. The Army expects to use it for special jobs that the two-passenger helicopters they have now can't do. For example, dropping a squad of 10 men into a tough spot means a lot more than dropping one or two, and a 10-man rescue squad or firefighting team is a lot more efficient than the smaller squad. Yes, sir, XR-10 opens a whole new field for the helicopter. Won't happen tomorrow, and maybe not for quite a long time, but the helicopter is going to be a big item one of these days. In just a few minutes, I'll be back to tell you more about the helicopter, so don't forget to listen. And now to our story. Caught in a tortuous web of circumstantial evidence, Hop and Tank find themselves again under suspicion of murder, and so redouble their efforts to solve the weird and mystifying riddle of the ghostly Avengers. As we continue now, the boys are wandering aimlessly around the New Orleans airport. Night has fallen, a hushed, breathless, tropic night. The moon is a dull orange ball low on the eastern horizon, and in the marshland, some distance away, myriad squadrons of fireflies blink a disorganized pattern of pinpoint light. Crickets chirp loudly in an age-old prophecy of rain, until finally they are drowned out by the thunder of a giant transport taxiing to the head of the runway in preparation for takeoff. Hop comes to a stop as the airliner turns onto the concrete and watches, a faraway look in his eyes, as it roars toward him, the brilliant wing lights gleaming like two bright eyes.
Tank, isn't she beautiful?
Yeah. Trying to get you, don't it?
All that strength, power, and one mass of cold, hard metal. And yet she's so delicate.
There she goes, high, wide, and handsome.
To think some people don't even know what it means to fly.
Yeah, we know.
We could tell them.
I'm afraid there's no way to describe it. We sure are lucky, though.
Yeah, I'll see. Hey, what are you talking about, lucky?
Huh?
We're about the unluckiest guys in the world. We got a murder rap hanging around our necks, remember?
Oh, that.
Yeah, that. We go wandering around, running off at the mouth like a couple of sentimental dopes.
No harm done.
Well, look, let's get organized, huh? What are we doing out here anyway? We got work to do.
Yeah, I know it, but it's good to get away and be by yourself. Gives you a chance to think.
Listen, we ain't got time to think. We got to move. Inspector Fry's measuring us up for a cell with hot and cold running bars.
Relax, Tank. He can't pin the murder on us yet.
Well, he's doing a fine job. So took that cargo strap out of his pocket and told us it was used to strangle Moran, the mechanic. I almost looped out of my chair.
Yeah, me too.
Sure wish I knew how I lost it.
Well, didn't you miss it?
No.
When was the last time you remember having it?
Well, when we was talking to the ground crew, I think. But I ain't too sure.
And you kept it in your jacket pocket?
Yeah, this one here.
Well, did you take the jacket off at any time?
Yeah, I think so.
When?
And later, when we was hanging around the office, I got kind of hot.
In the office, huh?
And I tossed it on a chair. Somebody could have taken it then.
Yeah, the only trouble is Paul and Craig leave the office wide open. Everybody wanders in and out.
Yeah, places like Grand Central Station.
But if Martin, the pilot who cut the elevator cable on the beach, had been around, somebody would have noticed him, I'm sure, since he quit.
Well, look, what are we beating our brains out for? Why don't we go after him? It's a cinch he cut the strap, too.
Well, Paul and Craig are checking on his whereabouts. The address he left with him was a dud.
Well, if you ask me, he's behind the whole thing. He was awful sore when he quit, so he cut the strap. Then he killed Moran to keep him quiet. This morning, he tried to get rid of us, figuring we was getting a little close.
There are a couple of weak spots, Tank.
Huh? What, for instance?
How did he know Moran was going to tell us anything? He wasn't on the field or in the hangar when we talked to him.
Well...
And what about the strange enemy fighters, the Zeros and Messerschmitts the pilots have been seeing?
That's something else again.
Something I don't think he could handle by himself. For instance, how did he know about the cargo run to Kansas City last night?
Well, he was tipped off.
Exactly. So there's someone else in the airline who's involved.
Oh, and Martin's doing all the dirty work?
Either that or he's the brains and someone's working for him.
Sweet little nest of rattlesnakes we stepped into, ain't it?
Sweet is hardly the word for it. Well, I guess we better head back to the office to see if Paul's turned up anything on Martin.
I'm almost scared to...
Why?
Maybe Inspector Fry will be there with cups for us.
Forget it. Come on.
So Hop leads the way across the field back to the row of hangars in silence, mentally wrestling with the many unanswered questions in the back of his mind. Who's their enemy on the field? Who took the cargo strap from Tank's pocket? Exactly what are the ghostly fighter planes? What caused the crash of the DC-4 the night before? Oh, and seemingly hundreds of others. Reaching the hangar marked Ace Flying Service, the boys turned to the small administration office alongside. At the door, Tank raises his hand to knock when suddenly they hear Paul Conroy's voice, loud with anger.
Tank, hold it.
Let's wait here. Listen a minute.
Listen to me, Bert. I put my life savings into this line. I begged and borrowed.
Who's with him? Bert Clay, quiet.
You expect me to give it all up now?
After all, Paul, I had to do some heavy scratching myself. I'm not sitting pretty, and neither is Billy.
Then why do you want to sell out now?
Did you hear that?
Yeah, quiet. I see no point in staying with a drowning ship. This line's finished, Paul. Completely wrecked. Every trip in the last week has been a loss for us. We only have 3 clients left, and as soon as their contracts run out, we'll lose them, too.
We'll find others.
With our reputation, quit kidding yourself. But if we sell out now, get at least part of our money back...
I won't do it. I'm going to fight this thing through.
You can't do it. And Paul,
yes,
I've spoken to Vinny about it. He agrees with me.
Agrees with you? You mean he wants to sell out too?
Yes, he can't take it anymore either.
I don't believe it. Where is he anyway?
Home. He called while you were out this afternoon. Doesn't feel too good yet, but he'll be in the morning.
And I'll wait. I want to hear him say he's through straight to my face.
Okay, Paul, have it your way. But what are we going to do about it?
Paul's really having a rough time.
We haven't any pilots.
None of the boys have come back?
After that crash, what do you think?
Well, I'll ask Hop and Tank to take her out. Done so much already.
Paul, are you sure they're okay?
What do you mean?
Well, they're nice enough guys, but they certainly haven't helped us very much, and as a matter of fact, our luck's been worse since they got here.
But it's not their fault. They're doing everything they can.
What about the murder?
Bert, you don't honestly think they did it, do you?
I don't know. You heard what Inspector Fry said this afternoon?
Yes, yeah, a lot of mouthwash. Hop and Tank are being framed, and Lord help the guy who's doing it when they find out.
They can say that again.
Of course, you know them better than I do.
Yes, I do, and they're tops. You take my word for it. If anybody can help us carve out of this mess, they're the boys.
All right. Well, I'm afraid it's too late now.
Okay, Tank, let's go in.
Hop, what do you think?
I think it's very interesting. Go on, knock.
You bet.
No, hold it.
Why?
Somebody just ducked around the corner of the building. Come on.
Hey, wait a minute. What's the idea?
Somebody else was listening. Tank, at that window. Easy now.
See him?
Yes, there he is, running behind that hangar.
Who is it?
Wait. He has to pass that open door. The light will hit him.
Great Scott. Who is it?
Tank, it's Vinny.
Vinny? The other partner?
Yes.
But Craig said he's home in bed.
Not now he isn't. I swear that's Vinny.
Jumping Jennies, what's going on here?
I don't know yet, pal, but things are beginning to shape up. A few more leads like this and we'll have the answer to the whole mystery.
Spinning on his heel, Hop turns back to the small administration building, his mind churning with all he's seen and heard. Tank lumbers behind, slowly shaking his head. Things are getting a little too complex for him. Gang, you won't want to miss the action-packed climax of today's episode, so stand by. Well, now to get back to the helicopter. Have you ever heard of Floyd Carlson, test pilot for the Bell helicopter people? A couple of years ago, he pulled off the first civilian rescue with one of the new planes, and it's quite a story. Carlson took the helicopter and flew out over Lake Erie looking for four people trapped on mush ice while fishing. Mush ice, as you may know, is extremely dangerous. Well, anyway, he took a helicopter equipped with wheels, not floats, and flew out to where the four men were stranded. No boat could get anywhere near the men because of the ice. Well, the situation was pretty critical, so Carlson flew over to the four men while the Coast Guard was trying to get through the ice with a boat. He dropped down and took off two of the men, one at a time. He flew them to shore, and by the time he went back for the third one, the Coast Guard had crashed through the ice and rescued the other two. Two of the men wrote a letter to the Bell people, and I'd like to quote a part of it. Wednesday, when we were stranded on the dangerous ice, not daring to move, little did we realize that aircraft was to play such an important part in our rescue. But that bug with three legs, that windmill-equipped lifesaver, that hummingbird, that little angel, that marvelous little machine is something, and we do mean something. Wednesday is the first time either of us saw it demonstrated, and what a demonstration. The helicopter is, without doubt, the coming flying machine. We'd like to have one to hop from trout stream to trout stream. If at any time anyone is in doubt as to what a helicopter can do, kindly refer him to us. We'll sell him the idea. Unquote. Floyd Carlson, the pilot, went a long way to prove the helicopter is a coming flying machine, and you'll want to learn to fly them. So always remember, America needs flyers. And now, back to our story. It is after 2 a.m, and without mentioning the fact that they saw Vinny, Hop and Tank have taken the DC-4 on a routine cargo flight up to Kansas City. Paul rides jump seat with them, and the trip has been fairly quiet. Now, 100 miles west of Little Rock, Tank sits bolt upright.
Hey, ain't we getting close to where they saw them enemy fighters?
We're in the exact area now, Tank.
I've been watching for them for the last 10 minutes. Why didn't somebody tell me? Pretty thick out there. Clouds are starting to pile up.
You think we'll get some weather, Hop?
No, I checked with the rain station 15 minutes ago. It'll be heavy, but no trouble.
I don't see nothing.
Keep your eyes peeled.
I don't know whether I really want to see a fighter or not.
We've got to see it, Paul. We've got to know what we're up against.
I suppose so. Heads up!
See a tank?
I see something. Ain't sure what. Off there to the right.
It's a kind of green light. Right in the cloud.
Green? The other boy saw green, too.
Look!
Good Lord!
It's a Jap Zero.
It came out of the cloud and it's cutting across our head.
I can't believe it.
And it's perfect in every detail. Yeah, see the insignia?
It's turning. Coming at us straight on.
Now, young pilot.
Listen to that voice.
Now you will die. You have taken my life and I shall be avenged.
As the ghostly hollow voice echoes in the cabin of the plane and the Zero roars straight toward them, machine guns chattering a deadly song, Hop, Tank, and Conroy sit frozen in their seats. They had expected this, they knew what was coming, but still cannot overcome the shock. And now they're heading for a seemingly inevitable collision. Gang, there's all kinds of action in our next episode, so don't fail to listen. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.